Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We celebrate Pentecost today. The readings are taken from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18, and verses 22 to 25, followed by Acts 2, beginning at verse 1. The talk is given by James Hiddell, a member of our ministry team. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Moving to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jenny.
Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our own various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, on this beautiful morning, would you take my words, would you make them your words? Would you speak to each of us by your Spirit? Would you tell us what it is you want us to hear this morning? That we might understand something more of what it is to be your church in your world for your sake. Amen. Birthdays and stories about beginnings are important. Families bring out old photographs and tell the same stories every birthday. Nations celebrate Independence Days with flags, speeches and fireworks. Couples remember first meetings and wedding days, sometimes with slight disagreement about what actually happened. And the church also has a story about how it began. Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. According to the New Testament book of Acts, it was at the moment when the frightened and bewildered followers of Jesus suddenly became bold, joyful, and impossible to ignore. There was a sound like the rush of a violent wind. There were flames like tongues of fire. There were crowds, confusion, amazement, and a great deal of speaking in unfamiliar languages. Something extraordinary is undoubtedly happening in Acts chapter 2. But before we delve into that, I want to highlight the fact that before Pentecost became a Christian festival, it was already an ancient Jewish one. Ed talked about this at the beginning of the service, and I just want to say a little bit more. But the important thing is to realize is that to the Christians, to the first Christians, this wasn't God starting from scratch. It was God fulfilling an old promise in a startling new way. The first Christians were Jews, shaped by Jewish worship and tradition, and Pentecost itself was already a well-established celebration long before the disciples experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit. The word Pentecost, as Ed said, comes from a Greek word meaning 50th. The festival took place 50 days after Passover. In Hebrew, it was known as Shavuot, the festival of weeks. And Shavuot was first and foremost a harvest festival. In the agricultural rhythms of ancient Israel, it marked the gathering of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. People brought offerings to God in thanksgiving for the goodness of the land and the provision that sustained life. It was joyful, practical, earthy religion, rooted in grain and gratitude. But it was also associated with one of the defining moments in Jewish memory. Shavuot came 50 days after Passover. And Passover commemorated Israel's miraculous escape from slavery in Egypt. And in the early history of Israel in Exodus, 50 days after Israel left Egypt, when the people had descended into hopelessness, confusion, and idolatry, Moses ascended the holy mountain of Sinai to meet with God and come back down with the law. And so Shavuot also celebrated the covenant, the moment when a wandering people became bound together as the people of God. When Luke describes the coming of the Spirit, he uses imagery that echoes that story. There's wind and fire, there's divine speech. There is a gathered people standing at the threshold of a new chapter in their life together. At Sinai, God formed Israel into a covenant people, and at Pentecost, God formed the church. And just as God once gave the law to shape his people, now God gives the Spirit to shape a new community centered on Christ. The first Christians understood themselves as living within the unfolding story of Israel, a story they believed had reached a decisive turning point in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The God who fed people in the wilderness, spoke at Sinai, and gathered Israel through the covenant was the same God now breathing life into the early church. And I think it's significant that this happens at a harvest festival. As Acts 2 progresses, the first harvest of the church begins to appear, as people from many nations are drawn together and respond to the good news of Jesus. The city would have been crowded. Pentecost, or Shavuot, was one of the major pilgrimage festivals of the Jewish year. Devout Jews travelled from across the Roman world to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Luke's account in Acts 2 lists people from places stretching from Mesopotamia to Egypt to Rome itself. This was an international gathering. Jerusalem was filled with different accents, different customs, different histories, and different languages. The city was alive with diversity. And miraculously, the gathered people understood what the disciples were saying in their own language. Isn't it beautiful that the Holy Spirit doesn't erase difference or flatten humanity into sameness, but instead creates understanding across boundaries that normally divide people? Language so often separates us into tribes, but Pentecost tells a different story. Many have noticed that Acts 2 echoes and reverses the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis. At Babel, human pride leads to confusion and scattering as people can no longer understand one another. At Pentecost, understanding begins to break out across barriers of language and culture. The movement is reversed. Humanity isn't trying to climb up to heaven, but God is reaching down towards humanity. And perhaps this carries a challenge for us today. Because upon Pentecost, the good news of the gospel arrives with an accent that people can understand, that people recognize. Sometimes we can slip into habits, phrases, traditions, and assumptions that can feel entirely natural to us insiders, but utterly baffling to anyone else. Pentecost suggests that the movement of the Spirit tends in the opposite direction. The church is called not merely to speak, but to speak in ways that can be heard and understood. When that happens in Acts, the crowd responds with astonishment. For a brief moment, in a noisy and divided world, strangers discover that they're not shut out from what God is doing. They are addressed directly, personally, and intelligibly. Before Peter even begins his sermon, Pentecost is already proclaiming something important about the character of God. That the divine life moves outward, crossing borders and drawing unlikely people into conversation with each other and with him. The picture of the kind of community that immersed we see earlier, many of them have been frightened, grieving. Before there are sermons, mission strategies, committees or buildings, there is worship. The church is first of all not a human project, but a response to divine initiative. The church exists because people are drawn toward God. Secondly, we see a spirit-filled church. Pentecost is a reminder that Christianity is meant to involve more than simply agreeing with theological ideas. The coming of the Holy Spirit changes people. Fear gives way to courage. Silence becomes proclamation. Ordinary people suddenly find themselves speaking with conviction and joy. Differing views on the ways in which the Holy Spirit moves and works can be a point of disagreement between Christians. Yet all the church must acknowledge that without the Spirit, we are little more than a religious organization trying to keep itself going. The Spirit gives life. That life may appear dramatic at times and quiet at others. It may emerge in preaching, compassion, music, contemplation, prophecy, tongues, reconciliation, or acts of costly service. But the New Testament insists that the church cannot truly be the church with human effort alone. We see a united church emerging in Acts. Few things feel more modern than social fragmentation. But the ancient world was hardly free from division. Ethnic divisions, ethnic tensions, class divisions, political violence and cultural suspicion were woven deeply into Roman society. And into that world, at Pentecost, comes a moment in which all sorts of different people from many nations hear good news together. Christians may not have always lived up to that vision particularly well. Church history contains painful examples of division, prejudice, nationalism, and exclusion. And even today, Christians often split into tribes that struggle to recognize one another as members of the same body. How often do we naturally drift towards people who resemble us, or think like us, or vote like us, or sing like us? People that reassure us that our own habits are normal. But Pentecost stands as a faithful rebuke to all of that. Not because it abolishes difference. Unity is not the same thing as sameness. The miracle isn't that everyone suddenly becomes identical. The miracle is that people remain distinct while discovering themselves addressed by the same Spirit. In a deeply polarized age, that may be one of the church's most urgent callings, to become a place where disagreement doesn't automatically collapse into division. The Spirit seems remarkably unconcerned with preserving cultural neatness. Instead, the church is born diverse, not uniform, not monocultural, not gathered around one preferred style or social identity. And fourthly, the church that is born out of Acts is an outward-looking church. The Spirit doesn't lead the disciples into a private religious experience cut off from the world. Instead, the doors open and communication begins. The miracle pushes the believers outward towards strangers, not just those who are already familiar or comfortable. The challenge to us is not simply whether we welcome newcomers through the door, but whether we are willing to speak in ways that others can genuinely hear and understand when we leave this building. It's about more than friendliness after a service, though that is still important. It's the difficult spiritual work of making room for people who may not share our assumptions, our vocabulary, our politics, or our background. Pentecost says that this outward movement isn't an optional extra to the church's life. It's woven into its very birth. The church was never meant to be a static institution concerned with its own preservation. From the very beginning, Pentecost pushes outward. The Spirit disrupts fear, crosses boundaries, and creates communities that look different from the surrounding culture. The transformation in the disciples that we see in Acts is striking, isn't it? From before Pentecost, they're anxious, uncertain, and largely hidden away. After Pentecost, they're suddenly speaking publicly in the crowded streets of Jerusalem. A handful of uncertain disciples gathered in prayer would not have looked a particularly significant thing to the world around them. Yet from that small beginning emerged a movement that crossed borders, languages, cultures, and centuries. The church was born at Pentecost. The church that was born at Pentecost had to grow. It had to learn. They had to repent, adapt, forgive, and continually rediscover what it meant to follow Christ in changing circumstances. They didn't just go out from Pentecost all set and never made any mistakes. Even the earliest Christians misunderstood one another, argued fiercely, and failed, occasionally quite badly. And yet somehow the Spirit kept working through imperfect people. How reassuring. At its best, the church is meant to be a community where people learn how to love God and neighbor together, imperfectly sometimes, clumsily, but genuinely. Perhaps Pentecost highlights a deeply human longing, the hope that divided people might still learn to understand one another, that fear might give way to courage, that communities marked by generosity and joy might still be possible. I think the church is meant to be an answer to that longing. A people shaped by prayer rather than panic, by hospitality rather than suspicion, by generosity rather than scarcity, and by hope rather than cynicism. At Pentecost, the Spirit falls upon a multilingual crowd. The good news crosses cultural lines immediately. Strangers hear themselves addressed personally, and outsiders become insiders. Pentecost reminds us that the gospel is always bigger than our own boundaries. From the very beginning, the church is turned outward, and the movement of the Spirit is outward moving, bridge building, and life-giving. I said earlier that Pentecost and the giving of the Spirit is intended to mirror and fulfill the image of the giving of the law at Sinai from the Old Testament. I want to finish with one last image reflecting that part of Israel's history that we glimpse when we see Pentecost in unison with the ascension of Jesus into heaven, which the disciples had witnessed a week or so earlier. Now, just as Moses ascended the mountain to meet with God and then returned to the people with exactly what they needed to get them through the next stage of the story, so Jesus ascended to God. But here the person who came back down from the presence of God was the Holy Spirit, the same and yet not the same person as who had ascended. Instead of coming back down to his people with a tool such as the law to get them through the next stage of the story, God came back down as a person and in a form by which he could fill his people in order to enable them to continue Christ's mission to the world. That is what the Spirit is for, and that is what the church is for. I want to finish just by reading the final paragraph of the introduction to the Church of England's service of ordination, which I think perfectly, beautifully summarizes what being the church is all about. In each of these aspects of the church's ministry, Christ's mission is the fundamental and unifying reality. Christ's ministry and mission turn the church outwards towards the world that God so loved that he sent his only Son. And they prepare the church for that goal and end of all things when Christ himself will present to the Father a world made perfect by his work, when all his people share in the joyful communion of love that binds the Father and the Son in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.